my name is Fleur Bennett, as you know, and my character name in Grace and Favour was Mavis Malturt. Well, I went for an interview in White City, but it wasn't in the main BBC television centre. It was in a back office down near the Village Green, a weird little place actually. I had to go up some stairs. It was just like a very weird room, like almost like an attic. I remember it, an attic-y, office-y. No, the initial first interview was, it was sort of like a room with a table. And I remember getting there early, and I remember going either to a greasy spoon calf and sitting there and thinking, oh my goodness. And I remember that the girl that I was being cast for was a country wench, or was described as comely and buxom, and I wasn't particularly buxom, so I do remember putting some socks down my bra to make my boobs bigger. And I remember going into the room, and I read with Mike Stevens, the director, wonderful director, loved him. And he was on my right, and on my left was Jeremy Lloyd, who I didn't know who he was at that point. They told me a bit about the pilot, and I read a bit of script, and then I left. And to be honest with you, I didn't get a particularly wonderful feeling. You know, sometimes you think, yeah, I've nailed it, but I'm not so cocky. So I went away and thought, well, if I hear something, I hear something. If I don't, I don't. But I really, really loved the character. And once I realised who Jeremy Lloyd was, I was a bit, in awe of him, and thought, my goodness, who have I just seen? You know, I should have known that before I went in. That was that. Then a week to 10 days later, I got a call for a recall, which I was terrified. At this point, I started to get a bit worried and a bit terrified. And Jane and Ralph were my agents in Richmond, little agents in Richmond. And they'd taken me on from drama school, and I wasn't very far out of drama school at this point. And I went to the same place, but it was a slightly different area of the building, and it was more like an office. And it was very cramped in there, I remember that. And that I walked in, and there was a really lovely vibe in the room, and it was Mike and Mike Stevenson, Jeremy Lloyd again. And I remember sitting in a leather chair, and it was very big, and had big arms. And I remember thinking, oh, and it kind of swallowed me up a bit. And I remember reading the part, and it was the scene that I had with John Inman, where I say, night then. And John says, it's the end of the episode. And John says, I said, you're going to turn the light off. And he says, when I finish thinking. And he's got his hand on his face, and that's the end of the episode. I think it was the pilot, or was it? It was one of the episodes anyway. And I read the episode, and I loved the character so much that I kind of just got into it. And I just thought, you know what? If I get it, I get it. If I don't, I don't. I remember being a bit scared, but I remember putting on the character like almost like a glove over my body. I kind of was inside, but kind of she took over. And that sounds a bit crappy, but it's kind of fun. That sounds a bit waffly, but it was kind of like that. And then I kind of rolled over on the side of the chair and said, night then. And I kind of just went to sleep. I closed my eyes, and I kind of go, are you going to turn the light off? And whoever was reading with me, I think it might have been Mike Stevens at that point. He said, yes, when I finished thinking. And I kind of didn't open my eyes straight away. And I heard this crash, and I opened my eyes, and I was a bit shocked. And Jeremy Lloyd had thrown his glasses on the floor. And I was like, oh, my goodness, what's going on? And apparently that was the signal to Mike Stevens that they had found the one, and that I was the one for the role. And apparently it frightened me to death. I thought, oh my God, what have I done? You know, and I'd kind of, and they burst into laughter. Mike Stevens was just laughing his head off, but he knew that that was what was going to happen. And they said, right, that's it. We'd like to offer you the part. And I was like, sorry, It's just, and I didn't know whether to laugh or cry. I was kind of in a bit of shock, really. And I just grinned, like I grinned from ear to ear. And I kind of walked out in a bit of a daze, really, a complete and utter daze, think not knowing how my life would change, you know, because I hadn't done any television at this point. I'd done theatre productions, but I hadn't done any television. And that was that. Yeah. So yeah, Jeremy laughed and just said, "You're the one." And I'm so sorry. That was the cue that if we thought that it was the best reading, I would throw my glasses down. And yeah, we'll be in touch with your agent. And I sort of got out, and I remember phoning, but the first person I phoned was my agent, and just said, "I think I've just been offered the role, but I'm so new at this, I have no idea." And then I phoned my mum and said, "I think I've just been." And she said, my mum was like, "What?" And I was like, "Yeah." And he's the guy that wrote, you know, Hello and Low and all of these amazing things like Captain Beaky, and just an amazing writer. And it's going to be with David Croft, who wrote Dad's Army, which I grew up to. I grew up watching, you know. So I was completely floored and in awe. And then from that point on, things progressed. So yeah, very scary, but very wonderful. Well, it was done in two parts. So we did two series, and so we would go on location for about 8 or 9 weeks, in Tetbury in Gloucestershire, in a wonderful house that Oliver Cromwell slept in. It was called Tetbury Manor. I think it was called Tetbury Manor. And so we would stay in a local hotel, and you'd be given your so you filmed out a sequence, so you'd film all the location stuff down there. Yeah, you wouldn't sometimes I wasn't needed. I was needed most of the time down there, so it was you'd go back at weekends or if you had 2 days off, but pretty much you were down there the whole time. So there's a wonderful little hotel we stayed in. I used to have the attic room, which was quite funny. So yeah, in Tetbury in Gloucestershire, and then the indoor scenes were mostly filmed with a live studio audience at the BBC Television Centre, which was wonderful and glorious. And they were filmed. We did like a block of a week, so you'd do an episode a week. So you would rehearse at the old rehearsal studios, the big where were they? Back to Halton, you know, the ones there. Big tall skyscrapers, where my big claim to fame was I went up in a lift with Rick Mayall, who I got chatting to, and I stood in a queue in the canteen next to Judi Dench, and she put a sausage or a oh no not a sausage I think she put something on my plate, and I said, "Oh, thank you," and then realized who she was and went, "Oh, really, thank you," because like she's just an amazing person, so approachable. And in those days, the rehearsal rooms were there were kind of different floors for different things. So if you got off at the wrong floor, which I did, I think they were filming A Fine Romance. Sorry, not filming, they were rehearsing A Fine Romance. I got off another floor, and they Caroline Pickles was filming something. So it's wonderful. And then there was the canteen, which you kind of got to kind of just sit, and you'd kind of walk by. Who was the gentleman plumber that played in with anyway, all these amazing people would just be in the canteen having a snack and chatting, you know. So it was a pretty amazing place to be. So you'd mark out the set on the floor, and then for the week it was your room. We did usually a block of 9 weeks or 8 weeks, and you rehearsed. So that was pretty amazing. You would do a reading of the episode. So there'd be a read through. Sometimes we do a read through of all of the episodes at the very beginning of the shoot, of the sort of recording and rehearsing period. But more often than not, the first day you would do a read of the whole of the script round a table. And then people would get a feel for what they you'd get a feel for what people were going to do dramatically or comedically with it. It was great because John would always come up with ideas and things like that. sorry, I've diverged to telling you about rehearsing rather than filming. So I'll come back to rehearsing because that's quite an interesting thing. But yeah, so filming. So you'd rehearse for the week. I think we filmed on Sundays, and then you'd have the day in the. You'd get given your place to go, where you'd have like a little sink and a bed and your little dressing room, and then you would rehearse throughout the day. So you'd do techie runs and you'd meet with costume and hair, and you'd know where all the cameras were and the audience were going to be and things like that. So that was really good. And then that night, usually in the evening, quite early, we would have a warm-up guy come on. Sometimes John went out and said a few words to the audience and warmed them up. And then pretty much you'd come out and be introduced rather like they did in the olden days. Because I was quite lucky because it was still a bit like that. It's very different at the BBC now. And I understand that this is how David Croft did things. You know, he had his repertoire of actors and you got introduced at the beginning and then you went off backstage, got your, you know, off the set and you got your costume on and you got ready to do it. And it was rather like doing a play, but one that you'd rehearsed and there were cameras there. But to be honest with you, the only way I could cope with it that's perhaps the wrong word, but the only way my way of doing things is just I completely forgot about the cameras and the audience to a certain extent. Theatre, it is very much like theatre because you have to wait for the laughs and things. So you have to, it's a stroke between television and theatre because you do wait for the laughs because they do laugh. And that's why rehearsing is so important, because on the last day of rehearsal, you would get the technical team come in and they would laugh. They would give you some feedback, so you'd have some feedback, so you'd know where the laughs were coming and things. But working with Molly and all of them, you know, John's a consummate performer, just wonderful. So I learned a lot, and then we'd finish filming, we'd move around the set, so you'd know where you were going to go and what you're going to do and what sequence they're going to be in. You'd have sometimes David Croft and Jeremy would walk around the rehearsal room, and also even on the day when you were doing the tech rehearsals with the cameras, they would they'd still be giving you notes or changing lines and things. They'd sidle up to you and sort of say, if you try it like this, or if you say it with this inflection, or could you not say that, could you say this instead? And then it was just all about getting better laughs or making it funnier or make it more realistic. And yeah, very, very, I learned so much. But they did change quite a bit sometimes they did, sometimes they didn't, you know. So that was quite good. So yes, yeah, so that's how we filmed. We filmed in Tetbury in Gloucestershire and also in the studio. They were the most giving, kindest. Wendy Richards and the most amazing person. John Inman, Frank Thornton, just kind, giving, welcoming. Molly Sugden, just glorious, really kind performers, and just the most extraordinarily lovely people. And I know that I've heard interviews before where people say that, but I really do mean it. They were amazing. Just amazing. The lovely Billy Burden, who played my father, who's alas not with us anymore. In fact, actually, I think I'm the only surviving member of Grace and Favour. I think everyone's passed away now. Dear Nicholas, who played Mr. Rumbold, wonderful, just wonderful people. I can't tell you. I mean, Molly Segden, after the bed scene with John Inman, she was backstage, she was back in the behind where the cameras were when I was doing it in the studio. And as I was kind of going off, I was like, obviously I'd just finished it, and she put her hand on me and she just said, darling, that was wonderful, just lovely. And I was just like, I almost burst into tears. I thought, how wonderful, because you know what, they were in my living room for all of my life. You know, we had a very strict rule in my house. I was very lucky to know my great grandmother. And so we would go, our greatest treat was we would go to my great grandmother's Nana's house and Grandad Bert, and we would watch, we were like, we would watch, we'd have a My grandmother used to prepare the most amazing salad. You could smell the lettuce and the all of the beetroot and everything when you walked through the door. And we would watch the Generation Game, followed by Are You Being Served? And then we knew once Are You Being Served had finished, we had to go home and we'd go to bed. And that was our Sundays, or was it our Saturdays? Saturdays. And that was our Saturday for years and years and years. And if we were lucky, we would potentially sometimes stay over. And that's when we got to watch Morecambe and Wise. And yeah, if there were, I've got, Eric Morecambe, if he was still alive today, I'd love to marry that man. I think he's amazing. He was amazing. But so to see all of these amazing people in action and to be acting with them was just like, I was in awe of them. They were wonderful. I got on with my job and I hope I did a good job. I hope I had a handle on the character enough to be able to play her the way that they wanted. And they were never derogatory. They were never rude. They were never, in fact, they never, if they had an idea, they sensitively said, oh, what about this? But they never did. It kind of, they just accepted me. And then we all worked really well together. And we if we were working on things and it was a better to do it a different way, we all just got on and did it a different way, you know? John was amazing. I had most of my characters with John, and sorry, most of my character scenes were with John Inman. What a lovely man, what a kind, giving man. And yeah, you just learn so much. And the British public just loved him, you know, you could just feel how much they loved him. And just a very clever, gentle comic man, you know, comic actor, you know, knew his craft really, really well. Yeah, so what was it like? It was the most enjoyable thing I've ever done in my life. They are the kindest, warmest. We became a little troop. Do you know what I mean? We became a little, for that amount of time, they become your family, they become your everything, you know? I remember there was one week I had an interview. I'd had to go and ride one of the Queen's horses because I'd had an interview for Gilly Cooper's, one of the adaptations of the Gilly Cooper's books. And I horse ride, I've had horses all my life. And I had gone and I had borrowed a friend's horse and he had stopped at the jump. And because I had to do some jumping in, some show jumping, but I'd kind of jerked my back in a bad way. So when I came back down and I did my interview on the horse really well, you know, they offered me the job. I came back down to film and I had a bad back, and they were the kindest people. Wendy was phoning up to try and find a local osteopath and they got me seen. And I'd never been to an osteopath. I was that young. I'd never even been to one. I didn't even know what one was. I was fresh from Cornwall, you know, bright lights of London and everything. So, they rallied round and sorted me out. So yeah, wonderful, wonderful. And of course, when they found things funny, we just laughed, you know, that we try. John Inman is a horror. Molly, once she goes, she can laugh on set. You know, the blooper tapes are quite amazing. So, yeah, really good fun and just genuinely kind, wonderful people, very skilled at their craft. No, I haven't got a favourite character. I can state that. Everybody, when I was little, everyone used to love Mr. Humphreys, didn't they? Because he was just hilarious. But no, I don't think I really have. I think I love them all. If I did slightly by a millimeter have a favorite character, it would potentially be John, just because the history of his character and I was so blessed and honored to work with him. He was just a lovely man, you know, and because he made me laugh on and off set. we had a scene where we were with sheep. We were with the sheep, and the sheep wouldn't go the right way, and he just John couldn't cope. He'd got his big leather trouser things on, and he was laughing his head off, and he kind of just walks up. And I remember shouting, "Mr. Humphreys, come back here!" He's just like, "I've gone, I can't." But the sheep just went the wrong way the whole time. So yeah, no, I don't think I do. I think I love them all it's a difficult one because I went from loving them all as a young person, and them being a part of my growing up to working with them. So I really couldn't say that I have one, though. But if I had to say, with a gun to my head, it would only be by a millimeter. It would be John Inman's character, the Mr. Humphreys. Yeah, there was a wonderful one in the studio where we were filming a scene, and my father got the wonderful comic that was playing my father, Billy Burden. He kept having to come into the room and announce the boys that he was bringing into the room. And bless him, he was having a bad day, as we all have had and do. And he couldn't remember their names. So he kept coming in, and then he'd stand there and he'd go, oh, I need to shake his head. Oh, I'd go, yeah, Alfie. And, and he couldn't remember their names. Me and John Inman and I, and me and Mavis and Mr. Humphreys had been, we were making lemonade. And I had a, Billy, bless him, there was take after take after take. And it was making the audience laugh. And actually, Billy was kind of playing to it a bit. And so we had to kind of say, you know, we need to get this, bring this back again. And then I had a line. How are you doing with that lemonade, Mr. Humphreys? And John said, he said something like, oh, I've squeezed 20, squeezed 18 already or something, or six already or whatever. And because Billy was taking so long to keep coming in and going out, and they'd all come in and then he'd forget their name and then they'd go back again. John turned around to me, went and held the jar, and he went, I've squeezed 84 already, because he'd squeezed so many because Billy had taken so long to come into the room with the people, and the audience roared. That was a really funny, that was a studio, what funny that was. Gosh, I'm trying to think now. There was alternative endings to the scene where I say, can you turn the light off? And he says, when I finish thinking. There were a few alternative endings to that, which were, I think they just let John do a few endings and Sid, they just saw which one they liked, you know, a few things he'd come up with. That was funny. There was a time, and I'm sure Molly won't mind me saying this, but she got into the carriage, the horse and carriage in Tetbury, and she sat on the seat, but it wasn't fixed properly, and she fell. It collapsed beneath her, and she burst out laughing. And I've got that on a bloopers tape. That was so funny. Everybody was really, there was silence because everybody was really concerned she was hurt. But Molly, being Molly and the amazing person that she was, she just laughed. We would, then everybody thought, oh my God, she's safe. We can laugh, you know. So that was one. When I fell in the mud, that was hilarious. That I did a couple of takes of that, and they only had one dress, so they had to wash and iron the dress, which was had to wait for that, which was quite funny. Oh, there was one where there was a scene in the studio where we were making gingerbread men, and we were putting raisins in the gingerbread men, and Billy kept getting his lines wrong. Or no, he wasn't getting his lines wrong. He kept being silly, and it made me laugh. And I could not get through this scene. I could not. And I think he was getting his words wrong and things like that. And I just turned to him, and the audience started laughing because he was a comedian. He started playing the audience a little bit. And so they had to, we had to kind of calm it down. And I would say my lines, and John Inman was there, you know, I would say my lines, and I had to say, and he'd go cross-eyed at me or something like that. And we'd already been laughing, so it was about the fifth or sixth take, and I was really trying hard not to laugh, but it was really hard, really, really hard. And I turned to him and said, Billy, please stop. And then I just burst into, and then we got the take, which was good. And then I do remember that John Inman said something to the audience, and what he'd done is, because it had taken so long, he'd put about 24 million currants in his gingerbread men that he'd been baking and showed it on camera, and it was quite funny. So that was another one. There was another one where my father came in with the fire extinguisher and it broke, and so it went all over everybody, and it was, yeah, that was a little bit dangerous, although it wasn't foam that could hurt. Yeah, I don't think I can think, other than where the pigs went the wrong way. That was quite funny. And then there was I remember seeing one that sometimes when we weren't filming, we'd go and watch the others film. And there was one where John and Wendy were in the pig farm area. And I can't remember what it was, but I think Wendy said something like, "Well, I've seen it before, John." And I can't remember she was in a blue suit. And it was just funny, and they had to do about 8 takes of it because they were laughing so much. So yeah, I can't think of any amazing ones at the moment. I'd have to go through the bloopers tape, but it was quite funny. It was just a lovely place to be in work. Yeah, I get a small amount of royalty from it, yes, but not a lot, but it's fine. It's lovely. when we only did 2 series, and the BBC in their infinite wisdom decided to not do any more episodes, any more series, the American networks wanted more, and that was very sad, I thought, because in America they have a lot more series that we did. I think 7 episodes per series, and they were like, well, we want at least, you know, 24 episodes a series, you know, so they wanted a lot more. And I don't think it was wise to have cut it, but I think the BBC went in a new direction at that point. So but like I said, and the American fans were amazing, and they wanted more, you know, they really did. And I've had some amazing support from the American fans, and some amazing letters, and they really love the series, which is just really kind of them. To, when somebody enjoys something you do, it's just lovely. It's just very kind, like yourself. Oh, thank you so much. And thank you for all you're doing to keep it alive, because there are a few other things I'd like to tell you just about how amazing Jeremy Lloyd and David Croft were and are, and what geniuses they were. And, you know, they're no longer with us, but my goodness, what clever, articulate, amazing people gatherers, talent gatherers. What amazing people that we have in this country, that we grew them, you know. I mean, David Croft was an institution. You know, you look at all of the series that he produced and directed and co-wrote. I mean, just amazing. And Jeremy Lloyd as well, started as an actor. You know, he was married to Joanna Lumley. I don't know whether you know that, at one point as well. And just an amazing, prolific, clever man. What a clever man he was. You know, they all were. And I'd just like to say thank you to you in terms of how you are, what you're doing, because it's keeping it alive for future generations, but also for people who also enjoy it as well, you know. And if there's anything that I can do, I mean, if there's anything I can do in the future that will be helpful, I really anything I can do to tell you how amazing that time of my life was, and the filming, etc., knowing these amazing people was, I very happy to do. And also just to say thank you to you and all the other fans. Just keep it alive. It's a piece of history, and it should be looked after. It should be, what you're doing is saving it and keeping it alive for future generations. And you know, my nieces and nephews watching Dad's Army and various other things. And my goddaughter said to me the other day, she said, "My goodness," she said, "that you can tell they're a bit vintage and a bit, the way they're filmed is different to the way things are filmed now." But she's thoroughly enjoying them, in the same way that I've been watching some of, while I've been poorly, I've been watching some of the old Ealing films and the Carry On films and the black and white films, you know, and that they're just amazing, just wonderful. So I would back that back to you and say thank you so much for all you're doing, because it's so worth it. It's to have a presence on the internet and to be allow people to talk about it and to keep it alive. It's wonderful what you're doing, and thank you very much for giving me the chance to tell you about how wonderful my filming experience was. Thank you.